Concho with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. All right, Richard Roper is in the studio with us.
Hello.
And, all right, you already told us that you like this Deadpool 2. You're giving it 3.5 stars. You also gave us a quick initial review of Solo, A Star Wars Story. You like that. That opens next week, so we can't really... what's the point? What do you like... What do you like this week? Give me the book club. Explain this. Oh, I've seen the commercial for this.
Yeah, you don't like it? See, it's not. You're not the core audience here.
No!
This is not you.
The core audience is dead.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, that's not right. If they did a bunch of old dudes, people guys would say it's cool.
They did that. They always do those old dudes
movies. I hate those old dude
movies.
Well,
you know, it looks like and reminds me of all those kind of Nancy Meyers, Nora Ephron movies you'd always get about women of a certain age who have all the money in the world, but usually some sort of romantic setback, right? Our family.
Where the
problems.
House is the star.
Where the house is the star. So the book club, Jane Fonda, Candace Bergen, Diane Keaton, and Mary Steenburgen are four best friends, all of a certain age, very successful.
I could almost see that, actually.
Right? I mean, they're wonderful, you know, wonderful icons of the screen. The premise is they have a book club, and one month they decide that they're going to read 50 Shades of Grey. They actually, you know, that's the book that they choose. So let's just play a little clip here where they discuss the book.
Elda's book. I mean, the things Christian does to her. My God. It's absurd.
I could have put him in jail for any one of those things.
But she sure was having fun.
Yes, she was.
It's not like we don't have fun.
No, but it's a different kind of fun.
Very different.
Like this. This is fun.
For sure. I just can't stop thinking about when he snuck her off and he gave it to her right there in the boathouse, you know?
Oh, the boathouse.
Yeah. Do you think anyone our age still goes, "Hi, beautiful friends"?
Yeah, I think some people do.
You know, you can almost tell from even the music, like that kind of cheesy, hey, we're having fun, you know, bouncy score in the background. And it's a huge disappointment, this film. It just spins its wheels. So the whole idea then is all four of them decide to spice up their respective romantic lives. One of them's a widow. One of them is married, but husband's no longer interested in, you know, the bedroom. So she tries to figure out ways to seduce him. One of them is a judge, Candace Bergen's character, and she decides to go on a dating website. It's all these kind of cheesy, hokey, you know, strange little asides. And like the Diane Keaton character, who, you know, Diane Keaton, the character she plays is smart and vibrant and wonderful. And her two daughters treat her like she's about to go into a home. They keep saying that she can't take care of herself and she shouldn't live on her own. And when they can't find her for 12 hours, they call the police because she's on a date. I mean, it's just so tone deaf. And the 50 Shades of Grey thing is really weird because there are these four intelligent women. If they really... And they're usually reading literature. Mm-hmm. They all would have thrown that book against the wall 20 pages into it. And even weirder, Jane Fonda's love interest is played by Don Johnson. Now, when you have a movie, when you have a movie that references real world things like 50 Shades of Grey, and then Don Johnson shows up, who is the father of Dakota Johnson, who played Anastasia Steele in the movies, it's just weird.
It is kind of weird.
It's weird. It's terrible. It's 1.5 stars. I really just felt bad for these wonderful actresses that there wasn't a better vehicle for them.
Yeah, but Don Johnson is good looking.
He still is. You know what? He's charming. Andy Garcia.
Andy Garcia, it's funny.
The, you know, the men who are the romantic interests now, you know, they're basically playing like the women in this movie. They're the good looking guys who get picked up by the. And Jane Fonda, she's 80 years old. She looks amazing.
Stunning.
They all look great. And they're all, you know, Candace Bergen's coming back with Murphy Brown. Mary Steenburgen, I think, has been wonderful as an actress. And she's married to Craig T. Nelson, you know, in this movie. So it's all these
familiar
people.
You know, that Craig T. Nelson works his way into all these movies now. That is the.
Happy to do that.
From The Proposal all the way on down.
Yeah, The Gruff. You
but
know,
is it kind of we were a bunch of women, we get together and watch it and just like have some fun. Just
probably.
Sort of like 50 Shades of Grey was not a really critically acclaimed
You could have it
movie.
For your movie club. And you could, if this movie were playing on an airplane, but you wouldn't even have to plug in your headphones and you know what was happening.
All right, so these women are all around 70 in their real lives.
Yes.
Right? Somewhere in that vicinity, you know, plus or minus.
That's true.
Right? So wouldn't it be aspirational then for 80-year-olds to want to watch this movie? Because 50-year-olds don't want to watch this and go, oh, is this what I'm heading toward? I don't think that's the way it's going to go.
Well, it's interesting. It's always baffled me that older women seem to be the primary audience for 50 Shades of Grey because it's about a 20-year-old and a bratty, creepy, sadistic billionaire who's like 27. It's not a book about a middle-aged woman or older woman who finds sexual freedom. But they all seem to dig it. I don't know. Maybe it reminded them of their college years in the 70s. Wellesley. I don't know.
That book was credited with spicing up a lot of love lives that have gone a little dormant.
Which
they sort of spice things up again.
I never got that. First of all, the writing was horrible in that book. But also, it's all about a guy who like makes the women sign contracts so that he can then tie them up.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, geez.
All right.
1.5 stars. Book club. Okay.
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 Okay. By the way, Jane Fonda has done the worst job. And I love Jane Fonda. And she's done amazing, as an actress. I'm over that annoying thing. But the point is that, the work she's done as an actress, there's amazing stuff.
Absolutely.
Especially recently, the newsroom and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. She's a really great character actress. Mm-hmm. The issue we have here, though, is that she's, in promoting this movie, she's talking about how she's closed up shop down there.
Yeah, she has.
Right? And you're like, well, that's not the point. The movie is supposed to be you're open for business.
She sent her last boyfriend packing. 82-year-old, whatever. I don't know. God love her.
Ted Turner, whatever it is. Fahrenheit 451, explain this.
Yeah, let's talk about this one. This is actually an HBO movie, and you remember the Ray Bradbury book. Everybody got to sign that. If you remember going to high school or maybe even junior high, and talk about a book that was ahead of its time. He wrote that in 1953. There have been other movies made about it. So HBO's, they've updated it. It's set in kind of modern, even future times, but it's still about book burning and it's still about censorship. And it's got a terrific cast. Michael Shannon and Michael B. Jordan are the leads in this movie, and Michael Shannon kind of raised Michael B. Jordan, and they're on the fire department. But the fire department in this movie, of course, is the department that gets called anytime anybody has any access to information. They come and literally burn it down, whether it's physical books or even anything on the interweb. And there's a lot of talk in here about fake news and how information will just clutter your brain. And according to the history that is taught now in this movie, Benjamin Franklin was the first to burn books in America. That's what they claim in this movie, the government. So it's it's very timely. I'm giving it a solid 3 stars, mainly because it's a great looking film. The ideas, while provocative, are pretty heavy handed. They always have been in these kind of books like this.
The book is heavy handed.
But Michael Shannon and Michael B. Jordan, Chicago's own Michael Shannon. Of course, Michael B. Jordan played Creed. He's in Black Panther. Those are two really fine actors who really get some meaty scenes together. So check that out on HBO if you have HBO.
All right. Let's check out Dark Crimes and Always at the Carlisle. But we'll do it on the other side here. Violetta, well, first of all, Judy's going to tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news.
Learn how real Chicagoans live. The day-to-day struggles, successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy, Chicago Sundays at 11:30 on WGN-TV.
All right. Richard Roper is here. He says, book club is 1.5 stars. Don't waste your time. Fahrenheit 451, which is on the HBO. That's worth checking out because it's got Chicago's very own Michael Shannon in it and Michael B. Jordan, who is having a pretty great year at the cinema. And it's the Ray Bradbury book. And now Dark Crimes. This is Jim Carrey's new one.
Yeah, Jim Carrey. I think about once every 3 years now he does a movie. That's by his choice because he wants to do his painting and is going off into the mountains and is all that kind of mystic stuff and just living his life. This is an interesting movie. He plays a Polish detective who is investigating a brutal murder that occurred near a sex club in Poland. A very dark movie called Dark Crimes and very explicit in its treatment of the crimes itself. And Jim Carrey's almost unrecognizable. This is one of those movies where it's set in Poland, but everybody just speaks English with a Polish accent, make it easier on
us. Including Jim Carrey?
Including Jim Carrey. And he's completely believable. If you did not know it was Jim Carrey with a big bushy beard and the Polish accent, you'd just think it was some Eastern European actor who's won many awards. He's very good.
It's great skilled.
Very good. I can't recommend the film. I'm giving it 2 stars. It's interesting because this is actually based on a New Yorker article about a true story in which an author's work of fiction described a crime in such detail that mirrored an actual crime and had detail that only the authorities knew. Author eventually got convicted of the crime and actually committed the murder that he had fictionalized in a book. It's based on that. Jim Carrey pursues this author who he believes has done the same thing. It was basically, published a novel that incriminates him. And it's very interesting to see how that goes. But it's just, I gotta say, it's just a grisly film and so dark. And the treatment of the female characters, you know, there's a moment in the movie where, like, we get it. This is what the evil people did to these women. But it feels as if the film was exploiting it by showing it in such detail. It kind of takes you out of the film. You're like, those are real women who are actresses who are obviously in a safe environment, but they're really being demeaned on some level. The depiction of it is really just, it feels gratuitous at some point. Yeah. So
I want to get to this there. Did you give a star?
Two stars.
Two stars. And that's in the theater.
Yes, and I think on demand as well.
All right. Always at the Carlisle. We got about a minute left.
Yeah, no problem.
Tell me about this.
Yeah, this cool documentary about the Carlisle, this famous hotel in New York City where everybody has stayed. John F. Kennedy supposedly trysted with Marilyn Monroe there, the royals through the years, presidents. And it's really cool because they got every celebrity you could think of who has stayed at the Carlisle talking about it, because it's a place where they've never talked about what happens at the Carlisle. It's supposed to be very discreet. It's sort of shabby chic. So you got everybody from George Clooney to John Hamm talking about their experiences at the Carlisle and Jack Nicholson staying there and what happened this one night in the 70s. So if you're into that kind of thing, just very late escapist documentary about a really kind of legendary hotel. Check out Always at the Carlisle.
Where does one find that?
That one, I believe you can get on demand. You should be able to, you know, if you do, you search your on demand menu. You know,
okay,
it should
so it's
be there.
On demand. Because now it's very confusing. I don't have to go to Netflix. I don't have to. What do
no,
I have to do?
I believe it's just a video on demand. Like if you, it would just be like
so
if you got
to
Comcast,
iTunes, my Apple thing,
all that stuff.
Thing.
Yep,
I don't even know.
Probably playing
you can't
at
even
I'm
like my I'm ask like your my, daughter to help you.
Just I'm type like my in hallways.
Now. I don't know. I did. Why does the key have to go in the lock?
If you type in hallways, you'll get a Holly Hunter movie, and then you'll get this one.
My grandfather actually lived at the Carlisle in New York.
I knew it.
Yeah,
I knew you'd have a connection.
That's not surprising.
Fantastic.
I've got a. That's an interesting. It's an interesting. Interesting.
Did he see anything with JFK and
maybe pictures of him on the wall and some of the scenes in the background here? Then
interesting little story right there. I'm sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, he had a. He was an interesting chap. I don't. The apple didn't fall far twice from the tree.
Oh my gosh!
All right, thank you very much. Sure. We have got Judy Pilot coming your way in 2 minutes with.